This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
From hockey to wrestling, football to golf, no sport left unturned. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. The boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning and welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I'm your host, Walter Rigabon. Joining me as usual, my co-host, Naz Marchese. Good morning, Naz. How are you?
Good, Wally. How are you this morning?
Good. Thank you very much. A little drizzly out there. Probably not the best day to be playing golf, but hopefully things will brighten up. Good day for Sports Talk Radio, though. So a few things to talk about this morning. Also joining us this morning, former Washington Capitol, former Toronto Maple Leaf, Leapin' Lou Franceschetti. Good morning, Lou. How are you?
Good morning, Wally. Naz, how are you, everybody, today?
Everybody's great. Thanks so much. Just to let our listeners know, coming up just after our first break, we'll be talking to Mike Wilson. Mike Wilson, friend of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. You've heard him on our show so many times. Been sitting in my seat a few times when I can't make it in. We're all doing it remotely now. But Mike, you'll recall last year did what he called the ultimate road trip, and visited attended every single Toronto Maple Leafs game the entire year. 89 of them, I believe, and we'll talk about it. He's got his new book coming out this week, The Ultimate Road Trip with Lance Hornby, and we're thrilled to talk to Michael about that. And the center of the hockey universe, guys, is usually Toronto, has been for a lot of this spring, and Edmonton as well, but the center of the hockey universe, I think, this week will be Ottawa. Ottawa has 7 draft choices in the first 2 rounds. They got $43 or $45 million in cap space. So the most prominent guy in the hockey world this week may be the general manager of the Ottawa Senators, Pierre Dorion. I'm pleased to say that he'll be joining us at about 9:35. Pierre's always been a good friend of the show as well. And he's got a lot of interesting decisions to make this week. So we're thrilled we'll be able to talk to Pierre later on in the hour. Gentlemen, last Sunday, we were all thrilled. The Blue Jays had made the playoffs. They had a great young team. They were going to set the world on fire. And, man, that didn't last very long, did it? Well, you know, it's best 2 out of 3. So, but the Jays never really got on track. Naz, what happened?
Tampa Bay was too good. Well, what was that?
That's perfect. I couldn't have come up with a better analysis. Flush that out for me.
The ace was sore, though.
Sorry, go ahead.
I heard that he shouldn't have pitched because I think he was hurt.
Who, Ryu?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So you're saying,
but they were lost anyway, Wally.
Yeah, the big controversy last Sunday was whether he was going to be in the first game or the second game. You know, we had that debate. I always think you go with your best in game one, but in a 3-game series, I don't know. I don't know if it makes any difference. But if he was hurt, then that certainly would have been an issue. But their bats didn't show up really in either game, did they, Ness?
Not at all. Not at all. They weren't very good. Jansen was the only one that hit, and he had a couple of homers in game two, and that was it.
Anyways, they're a young team. What's the phrase? Hope springs eternal. I think that's what it is. Certainly, they gave us some moments this year to give us some optimism for the future. Some of their young guys grew up fairly quickly and gave us some enjoyment. Lou, first of all, parting thoughts on the Jays, and then we'll turn it over to your your favorite team, the Yankee, because now they're up against T-Bay. Lou?
Yeah, well, you know what? The bats came alive, and the Yankees showed exactly the way they're going to survive in any playoff series or any games. Their bats are going to have to hit home runs. They're a very slow team. They're not going to nickel and dime you like Tampa and San Diego are. And they're not going to steal at many bases. And they need some help from their second and third and fourth pitchers. Garrett Cole is the real deal. They're going to put him out in game one, probably against Glasnow or Snell. And then I guess the other three games could be a toss-up, depending on how well Tampa's pitching is.
Parting shots on the Jays?
No parting shot. It's more, listen, when you're big three hitters or you go, I think, 3 for 22 or 24, you're not going to win too many games, especially in the playoff. I didn't really agree on Mr. Montoya. I think he outdid himself or he outthought himself with sticking with Ryu or putting Ryu in the second game. This injured stuff, I think that's BS. That's just an excuse to get him off the to put the blame on the player, not the play, to put the blame on, but just to distract the whole story. You always go with your best guy in the first game, and you take your lumps with him, and then you more or less adjust to whatever happened in game one.
Who's the best team? Who's the best team in baseball right now, and who's going to line up in the World Series finals? I'll throw it over to Naz, and then back to you, Lou.
It's going to be Tampa Bay and the Dodgers.
Tampa Bay and the Dodgers. Interesting World Series. Lou?
I got to stick with the Yankees, and I got to go with the Dodgers. The Dodgers look like they're tough to beat. Then, I still think it's up in the air because pitching wins just like goaltending wins. And Atlanta had great pitching. San Diego looks like they're a very, very exciting team out west. Oakland is Oakland, very low price, but high quality players. So, right now, I'll go Yankees Dodgers.
That would be.
I'd love to see San Diego, though, Wally. They're an exciting team. Yeah, I'd love to see them in there, but I don't think they'll get there.
They certainly are, Naz. On Lou's point, Yankees Dodgers, that certainly will be a throwback series. That should make the TV executives salivate. Brings back memory. When you say Yankees Dodgers, man, that brings back so many incredibly great memories. Mantle and Don Drysdale and Sandy Koufax and Roger Maris and Whitey Ford and then the 50s and 60s and DiMaggio and all those guys. And then we go to the late 70s and early 80s when the Yankees and Dodgers had a couple of matchups. So that would attract the ratings, I would think. No question that Yankees Dodgers certainly will drive a tremendous amount of interest in a lot of different ways. And talking about ratings, we've got 2 minutes before we go to break. NHL, I guess we should probably talk about the awarding the Stanley Cup. I think last Sunday we were saying how great Corey Perry and Pavelski had played the night before, and Tampa Bay finally wrapped it up. I think there's no question from beginning to end of the playoff series, Tampa, the Lightning were the better team. Final thoughts on the Stanley Cup, Naz, and then Lou.
Six games, Dallas played the hurts. But Tampa Bay, the most talented team in the league, finally won the cup.
Lou?
I think Tampa was due to win it, especially with the year they had a year ago and getting upset in the first round by Columbus. They definitely had the more talent. They definitely had the more speed. The only way I think Dallas could have probably beat them was to wear them down. Game four was critical when they lost in overtime. But I definitely do, Tampa has, I give Tampa my stamp of approval, and they definitely should have won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I think they learned their lessons from the past. There's no question. Much deserving Stanley Cup champions, no question. No asterisk. They proved they were the best team. They prepared. John Cooper had them prepared. I don't know what the history books will say. This may have been the most difficult way to win a Stanley Cup, the way they did it, or it may have been an uneven way to win the Stanley Cup, given given the way the season didn't end. But I think Tampa clearly are deserved Stanley Cup champions. No asterisk whatsoever. They deserved it. The only question I have, not question or observation, I guess it was a local kid I want to comment on, who was a big, big, big part of the Tampa Bay Stanley Cup run, Anthony Cirelli. Interesting, undrafted in the OHL. Think about that one. Third-round draft choice in the Tampa, and such an important member of the Tampa Bay team, and I think he becomes an RFA, so he's certainly going to be up for a big raise, and don't know what they're doing about circulating the Stanley Cup. That may be on hiatus, but if they do circulate it, I think it's coming to the city of Vaughan. Last hey, comments, guys, before we go.
Hey, Wally.
Yes, sir.
Sorry to cut you off here. I would put a I would put an asterisk to this Stanley Cup. I don't think the best team in the league won it this year. And there's one team out there that we didn't mention that would have given Tampa, and Tampa was really, really scared to play, were the Toronto Maple Leafs. They would have matched up talent for talent up front.
Lou, you want to question Tampa Bay's Stanley Cup victory because they didn't have to face the Toronto Maple Leafs? You're kidding,
yes.
Right?
Yes, sure. I definitely would. This wasn't an 80 game schedule. This was a
6 games, wasn't it?
It was a stallment in between for 5 or 6 months. You want to call it? When the season ended, Boston had the best record. They were the best team. Tampa was a close second. And there was one Tampa didn't want to play in the playoffs, and that was Toronto, because Toronto played very, very well against them in every facet of the game, and they had the superstars up front to match it. The only thing that I think Tampa had more than Toronto were their third and fourth liners.
Lou, I can't let that one go, so I'm going to respond really quickly. And, you know, if Naz wants to, Naz, I may give you some shots in this one too. Lou, I don't quite understand the logic of your argument, with all due respect. Certainly the Boston Bruins may have been the best team during the regular season. So what? The President's Cup trophy winner almost never wins the Stanley Cup. It's what you do. It's the matchups. It's take advantage of opportunities. It's coaching strategies. It's all of those things. And to suggest that the Tampa Bay, there's nothing I saw from the Toronto Maple Leafs in that Columbus series that suggests to me that they would have made Tampa work up a sweat. But go ahead, Ness.
Well, I'm kind of surprised. Lou, you're sounding like me.
Hey, be careful where you go with that.
We're going to argue this till we're blue in the face. They had 5 months off between the end of the season and August. Plain and simple. Okay?
I've been there
before. Players lose their drive when you're that far off because they don't know when they're going to play.
The rules were the same for everybody, Lou, and the quality of the hockey was pretty good. And Tampa, I think they're, and we can agree to disagree, and I'll give you that. But they played by the rules like everybody else, and had to win four playoff series, and beat a really good team in Dallas at the end, and. They did it. No asterisk for me, and asterisk for Lou Franceschetti. Naz, you're the
no
deciding vote.
No asterisk.
Okay.
No asterisk.
Two to one. Lou, I enjoyed the spirited debate. We've got to go to break.
Hey, I'll take both of you guys on any time you want.
Are you going to use that line again, the how many games I played in the NHL? I'm getting tired of you circling out that one. But that one, unfortunately, I can never overcome. I will have to agree. I never played a game in the NHL. So if that's the deciding factor over whose opinion is correct,
we need Pierre Dorion as a number five, okay?
I don't think he's going to answer the question, but you can try. Anyway, we've got to go to break. We're going to have Mike Wilson, the Ultimate Leafs fan. Maybe we'll ask him this question. Anyways, we'll be right back.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville introduced contact-free delivery. Order and prepay online and choose contact-free delivery. The driver will place your order on your doorstep in a nice, clear, protective bag. Then he'll politely stand back 2 metres and call the number on the receipt. Once you answer the door, he'll give you a little toodaloo and off he goes. Contact-free delivery from pizzaville.ca or the Pizzaville app.
Are you real ready? If you're a real estate agent, we can help you sell more homes. A business owner? We'll help show it off to the community at large. And if you're a homeowner, we'll supply accurate floor plans for every room in your home. Because selling property is all in the details. Real Tours Media, creators of 3D virtual tours, walkthrough video, HDR photography, logos, and brands. Check out the one-stop shop for successful real estate agents. RealToursMedia.ca.
There's an old saying, entrepreneurship doesn't build character, it reveals character. Entrepreneurs learn to trust a person by trusting people. The law firm Rigabon Carly understands this. They know all about entrepreneurs because they work for them. Every day, they've earned their trust. They know that when it comes to meeting the legal and business needs of entrepreneurs, good enough is not enough. Rigabon Carly, the intelligent choice.
This is Daryl Sittler for Alta Infinity in Vaughan. I've worked with some pretty great teams over the years, and the staff at Alta ranks among the very best. Expert sales, superior service, and the largest selection of Infinity cars and SUVs in Canada, and the most competitive pricing anywhere. It's no wonder that Alta has been an all-star performer for well over a decade. Visit AltaInfinityWoodbridge.com, or better yet, drop by the No. 7 Auto Mall at the corner of Martin Grove and Highway 7. Experience the difference that makes Alta Infinity the captain's choice.
They're not here to be nice. They're here to be right. The boys are back. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on the new AM 740 Toronto, 96.7 FM on the internet, www.zoomerradio.ca. We're pleased to welcome to the show this morning a good friend of ours, the ultimate Leafs fan. Of course, I'm talking about Mike Wilson. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Well, good morning, guys. Before we start, I guess I got to say, make that 3-1 with the discussion taking place. Lou. I'll tell you what, there's no asterisk. This is probably the toughest Stanley Cup for anybody to win in history. Full marks to the Tampa Bay Lightning. They were clearly the best team in the tournament, missing their best player. And there's no doubt who the best team was. Maple Leafs, nobody loves them more than I do, but they're a long way from competing at that level.
Anyways, Mike, I don't want to get into a debate with Lou
Mike,
here.
You just said that they were the best team in the tournament. I just said they got full marks for winning it. I understand. Okay?
Okay.
Put them over an 80-game schedule, I'm saying, okay?
Yeah.
Let's not forget that there were 5 months in between games.
Mike, Lou, I know one thing, arguing with you, we're not going to convince you, but you got outvoted, so let's move on. You might be right, but you got outvoted.
Mike, I'll see you up in the alumni box, okay?
Anyways, guys, the reason we have Mike on, and thanks so much for joining us, Mike. It's a big week for you. Last year when we were in studio, we talked about it quite a few times. You joined us in studio. You hosted the show a few times. You went to every single Toronto Maple Leaf game. We're talking, of course, the season before, I think, 18-19. I got my math wrong here. You went to every single game, every single playoff game. 89 games, I believe. As you were doing it, you said the book was going to be coming, and the book is coming. It's the ultimate road trip. You worked with Lance Hornby all about it. Tell us about the book launch and, tell our listeners all about your book.
Well, it's the book launch. Actually, they picked the date October the 6th for the launch, and that's of course the day of the draft. So we are doing we're going to do an Instagram live virtual launch ourselves from here. Obviously, with the way things are between 6 and 7, so to give the hockey fans a little bit of a pre-draft look into the book. It's been a labor of love over the 89 games. I ran into hundreds and hundreds of fans, hundreds and hundreds of stories and pictures. We sorted through it all. Lance, who's just a brilliant journalist, worked with me and patiently worked with me, and we put it all together. Deb helped with all the photographs. I mean, we've got so much material. We chose what we think are some of the best stories, and there's so many of them. The thing about the story is that it's not a gushy love story about Leafs fans. It's more along the lines of a sports story about the passion that the people have for their sports team and what it means to them, to their families. And just Maple Leafs just seem to have a little bit different than most teams because of going back to the games, but families watching them way back to the 30s. And the one game they could only listen to out west was basically the Maple Leafs. So we tried to find that, the generational passing of the torch, if you will. And these people were just very open to me, sharing their stories. And, you know, people at times were crying, were laughing, were yelling. And it was just absolutely phenomenal. I hope that when people read the book, they can feel that through the words that we put them on the pages.
One more question, I'll turn it over to Naz and Lou. Mike, 89 games throughout Leaf Nation. We see it on TV from here. You actually experienced in the flesh the incredible passion Leafs fans all around the NHL. I mean, you watch some of these games, and there's like more Leaf sweaters in the stadium than actually the home team. I've experienced it in some of the arenas. You see it in Montreal, you see it in Buffalo, you see it in Washington, you saw it everywhere. Explain to me why there is this incredible passion, even amongst I know that the whole thing about passing it down generations, but this incredible passion for the Toronto Maple Leafs in so many other cities in the NHL, yet the Leafs have been, for lack of better terms, unsuccessful for 50 years, other than a brief flurry, I guess, in the 70s with Daryl and Boria and those guys, and 93 with Dougie and Wendell. But how do you explain it?
Well, see, that's what makes it so unique, because of the fact that, and people have to realize this, is that starting back when Foster Hewitt broadcast the games in the mid-30s, it was the only game in town for most people. Radio was at its infancy stages. People were going through the Great Depression, which would cripple the country until 1939. So the only form of entertainment was the radio, was listening to a hockey game on Saturday night, and families would gather around the radio and listen. And again, the wartime broadcasts of Foster Hewitt that entertained our troops when they're battling for our country. All these stories are passed down from generation to generation, and it's so critical for people to understand. It's not what I found was when we're going out west, you got to remember, we get to watch the Maple Leafs. We can go to the games live every game. These people get a chance to see them maybe once a year. So the game is almost secondary. It's the fact to go and see that crest and see that sweater and those colors live. And what it does is allows people to regenerate or rethink their thoughts that have been passed down from their grandfathers or their fathers or their mothers. And that really, really impacts people. And it's embedded in their DNA. And you just see it, and it just oozes out of people when you talk to them. And unless you experience it firsthand, you may not understand it. I thought I did, because so many people reach out to us on a daily basis since we've become known from doing a lot of fundraising and so on. But until you actually look somebody in the eye and they tell it to you, it really is impactful. And I'm just telling you, it's, you know, you go to a place like California and they have expat groups that have 2,500, 3,000 people. And, they all go to a lot of the Canadian games when they come through the three-game circuit out there. But it's the Maple Leaf games that immediately sell out. In Dallas, the game on the circle that's circled every year is the Toronto Maple Leaf game. And when NorCal was there employing 50,000 people, it'd be a fight for tickets. And the score was secondary. It was just that fact to see that crest, have the team live, and they just really embraced it. And you see that throughout the whole league.
Yes.
Mike, who were the worst fans and best fans? Did you come?
Well, the worst was, it was an isolated incident. It was in New York, the Island game with John Tavares going back for his first game. I've never seen anything so ridiculous in my life, just the way they treated outside people coming in. And it was, and they won the game. And it's just, it was almost like they wanted to prove, I guess they're like the step-headed red child, you know, the red-headed stepchild, because these guys, they don't really have much there except that hockey team. And the one asset they had, they lost. But they were ahead of the Leafs in the standings, and they still acted like it was just craziness. But the best fans, you go to a place like Columbus and you watch the warm up or the pregame skate, and from the red line circling around the Leaf end, it's 15 row deep and fans. It's really impactful. You go to California, go to the LA game, and you've got sections and sections of Leafs fans. And these are people that live out there and go to these games when Toronto shows up. It really is something. And you see the same thing in Vancouver and Calgary. Winnipeg is another place where it probably really impacted me first, because that game, it sounded like a home game after when Kapanen scored the first goal to set the game off. But everywhere you go, there are fans. And I would say the Island was the worst, but that was an isolated incident. But everywhere else, then Boston was another place where the first time there, like, the fans got less and less and less. And I went there six times, and believe me, I hated that rink by the last game. The group got less and less and less as they went through the playoffs, and there was, and they wouldn't give the tickets up. But it was just in every rink.
Lou? You know, well, Mike, you could have said it better. Huh? I remember going to all the Canadian cities, and there was probably more Leaf fans in the Canadian city in Vancouver, or Leaf jerseys in Vancouver, Calgary, Edmonton, and Winnipeg, than there were jerseys of the home team. And even when we went to Montreal, and you even look nowadays, it seems like every game that Montreal plays in Toronto, there's more Habs fans, and every game that there's that they play in Montreal, there's more Leaf sweaters, in the stands. And Ottawa is the same way. That Ottawa, I think, has limited the number of people coming in from Toronto, because they fill that rink, but there's probably 12,000 Toronto fans in the stands. I think the Leafs more or less are like an organization like Boston and the Yankees, with the rich tradition that they had. There's so many fans out there that anytime they come into the town, you can see a substantial amount of Yankee and Red Sox fans, just like you do with Toronto Maple Leaf jerseys out there.
The thing about it is, you got to remember, back in the days when the Yankees and the Red Sox were expanding their brand, they had competition from Cincinnati, St. Louis, and all these other teams back in Pittsburgh, even back in the early 30s, where their games were broadcast. You got to remember, you really have to take note of the fact that it was, like, how far back, like, Toronto is very unique, and there's no other professional franchise in the world that has this, where they were it for a whole country outside of the eastern part of Canada, where it was split. So that has really, really impacted, and as I've repeated myself here, is embedded in what people and how they're brought up. I sat with Brett Connolly in Washington, and he's from Prince George in BC. Even though he grew up a Vancouver Canucks fan, he said majority of the older people in that generation still are Maple Leaf fans, even though the Canucks have been around since the 70s. But even he realizes, now he lives here full-time in the off-season, he gets it. And he senses it everywhere he goes, or like when he sees Toronto people around. So it's just one of these things that people, and I really want to encourage people to do what I've done, because it can be done. And hopefully people use this as a bit of a benchmark for them to use as a platform to go out there. And I ran into lots of people trying to go to every rink that the Toronto Maple Leafs play in. Once you experience it firsthand, and you only have to do it a little bit by bit, you'll really get it.
We're talking to Mike Wilson. The book is The Ultimate Road Trip. Mike, we've got a couple of minutes left before we got to go, and then we've got Pierre Dorion coming on. I know, your stories are probably like children. It's difficult to have a favorite one. You love them all, you love them all equally. But relay to our listeners one story, one event, one thing that happened that you'd like to pass on.
One that stands out, I would say, was in Calgary, standing in Cowboys, and there's a 61-year-old guy by the name of Ed Gutter who approached me along with his brother, and they were talking about the Leafs, and they knew who I was. And Ed Gutter is from out west. He lives outside of Calgary. He's never had the ability or been able to probably afford to go to watch the Maple Leafs play. And they were his favorite team for 55 years when I met him, since he's been 6 years old. His brother, the day of that game when Toronto was playing Calgary, flew in from Toronto with four tickets for him, his brother, and the two wives. And there was Ed telling me this story, the 61-year-old man, like, you know, with a beer in his hand and his brother with a beer in his hand, with tears streaming down his face, telling me that story and the joy he was experiencing going to that game to see his team play live for the first time. The two wives were crying, and his brother was standing there just so proud. And, you know, you could just, and the way I'm trying to look at these people, and it's just the emotions were just so overcoming. And I ran into a few people who had stories like that. But it just really then hit me that this is what this team really means to people.
Mike, thanks so much for joining us. Really quickly, the book is out. It's,
yep.
This time of year, you know, we're always starting to think about Christmas, and it would be a great, great present for a Toronto Maple Leafs fan, or a hockey fan in that matter. Tell our listeners how they get a hold of the book and your virtual book launch. If it's on Instagram, I presume everybody can tune in. So tell our listeners a few of those details.
Well, you can go to Amazon and get it on Amazon. It's also going to be available to Indigo. If anybody's close by and wants me to, we have copies here. We can get the people, but it's your choice. So it's in all the, it should be in all the major outlets, and it's available out there. And the Instagram live is on Tuesday night, starts at 6 o'clock. So just follow us on, you know, the Ultimate Leafs Fan on Twitter, on Facebook, and on Instagram, and we'll be giving updates. We're actually going to be doing people who weren't in the book or part of the book are going to do little excerpts from the book and around it as we go forward. So people can watch for that also.
Anyways, we've been talking to Mike Wilson. Mike, on behalf of Naz and Lou, congratulations. We look forward to it. And thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Always, always a pleasure. Break time. We'll be right back with the general manager of the Ottawa Senators, Pierre Dorion.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville introduced contact-free delivery. Order and prepay online and choose contact-free delivery. The driver will place your order on your doorstep in a nice, clear, protective bag. Then he'll politely stand back 2 metres and call the number on the receipt. Once you answer the door, he'll give you a little toodaloo and off he goes. Contact-free delivery from pizzaville.ca or the Pizzaville app.
This is Daryl Sittler for Alta Infinity and Vaughan. I've worked with some pretty great teams over the years, and the staff at Alta ranks among the very best. Expert sales, superior service, and the largest selection of Infinity cars and SUVs in Canada, and the most competitive pricing anywhere. It's no wonder that Alta has been an all-star performer for well over a decade. Visit AltaInfinityWoodbridge.com, or better yet, drop by the No. 7 Auto Mall at the corner of Martin Grove and Highway 7. Experience the difference that makes Alta Infinity the captain's choice.
Are you real ready? If you're a real estate agent, we can help you sell more homes. A business owner? We'll help show it off to the community at large. And if you're a homeowner, we'll supply accurate floor plans for every room in your home. Because selling property is all in the details. Real Tours Media, creators of 3D virtual tours, walkthrough video, HDR photography, logos, and brands. Check out the one-stop shop for successful real estate agents. RealToursMedia.ca.
There's an old saying, entrepreneurship doesn't build character, it reveals character. Entrepreneurs learn to trust a person by trusting people. The law firm Rigabon Carly understands this. They know all about entrepreneurs because they work for them. Every day, they've earned their trust. They know that when it comes to meeting the legal and business needs of entrepreneurs, good enough is not enough. Rigabon Carly, the intelligent choice.
There are two ways to argue sports with these guys, and none of them work. The boys are back, the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live. Joining me also this morning, my co-host Naz Marchese, also joining us, special guest Lou Franceschetti. And now we're pleased to welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour the general manager of the Ottawa Senators, Pierre Dorion. Pierre, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for having me on.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you for joining us. Pierre, we always like to joke in Toronto that Toronto is the center of the hockey universe. But this week, as I said in my intro this morning, I think Ottawa might be the center of the hockey universe. This might be the most important week in Ottawa Senators history. There's a lot going on. We have the draft. We have unrestricted free agency. Ottawa has 7 picks in the first 2 rounds, and you've got $43 to $45 million of cap space. So my guess, Pierre,
is you're probably at work today. So tell us how this shapes up to be a great week for the Ottawa Senators.
Obviously, this is a defining week for our organization, especially with the draft. I think we can really do some really good things for the organization this week. I am, after this interview, I will be jumping in my car and going to work for the day. But this is definitely a big week for us.
Pierre, seven picks in the first two rounds. It's touted to be one of the strongest drafts, if not in recent memory, in a long, long while. You're drafting third and you're drafting fifth. I can presume, or can we presume, that Ottawa will be using those picks? And go ahead.
No, I thought that you're, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I thought that your question had ended. Yes, for sure we'll be using those picks. I would put it, there is no chance we're going to trade number three with the, we think it's going to be an impact player. Someone who will play in our lineup as early as next year. And with five, we'll see what Detroit does at four. And I would put it at 99% that we're going to make that selection also.
Pierre, how good is this draft?
Oh, this is one of the better drafts that I've seen in a while. Obviously, I didn't get to see every single player in person. Our scouts have done a tremendous job, you know, watching all these players through the season. But with the pandemic that happened, I had a chance to see a lot of video, be part of a lot of meetings, and it looks like a very deep draft this year.
Nez?
Pierre, how active will you be in the free agent market this coming season?
Well, it depends. You know, once October 9th comes, depending how things go this week with the draft, with some of our restricted free agents, we'd like to plug a few holes. You know, obviously there'll be some, there could be some trades also, but we feel that we'll be a team that will look to add, you know, pieces that could help us through this rebuild and allow us to take the next step.
Lou?
Hi, Pierre. How are you?
Good, Lou. How about yourself?
Wally doesn't know that me and your dad were mutual friends. Back in the old days with Washington.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for Pierre's dad.
I know. A Frenchman and an Italian together. Imagine that, huh? We know that you have the third pick and the fifth pick, and you're probably going to select a combination of Byfield, Sturtsy, Drysdale, or Sanderson. With that next first-round pick, has it ever crossed your mind that, depending on, I know what kind of talent you have in the organization, has it ever crossed your mind that you might want to trade that third first-round pick and maybe 2 seconds to move up and draft a Russian goalie and get your goalie of the future, if he is slated or slotted in that pick?
Well, obviously, we've always looked at scenarios. We feel we've got pretty good depth in goaltending with George Accord, who was a really good goal in the AHL last year, started in the East Coast League, and allowed us to go from a team that was on the cusp of the playoffs to a first-place team. We traded for a guy by the name of Philip Gustafson in a trade a few years ago, who was the best goalie at the World Junior, who's had some ups and downs, but we like his upside. We got Mandelis, who was probably the best goalie in Major Junior in the second half, was the goalie of the year in the Quebec League, and we dropped Sogard. So, obviously, we feel we got a lot of depth at the goaltending position. You know, could we use 28 and possibly another asset to move up to draft whomever. We've got a lot of picks, so we can button them up and move up in the draft. So we've looked at every scenario. We have had mock drafts. We're going to have another one with our scouts today. And we'll be prepared for every scenario.
Pierre, I've heard this quote, this term mock draft, and I've got an idea what it is. Tell us how the Ottawa Senators do it. I presume you and your chief scout and your scouting staff, you sit around and you make decisions based on various alternatives as they unwind. Give our listeners an idea how from a logistical point of view, exactly what a mock draft is.
Well, how we've done it so far, and you know, there might be some changes when we do the next one, is every scout, we have about 10 amateur scouts, and you know, we're all assigned different teams. So far, our chief amateur scout, Trent Mann, and myself were Ottawa, and I let him make the selection, or I become the chief scout, and he becomes the general manager. We have a fun role reversal, and then every scout is assigned a team, and obviously scouts are going to have different opinion about all the players in the draft. So we just put different scenarios. A few things are laid out before times to make probably make it spicier for, you know, for us to prepare for every scenarios. And we talk about, you know, what could happen and possible trades. And, you know, all these guys are assigned different teams. So as we go through the first round, you know, every scout has two or probably three different teams. And, you know, we do that till probably the first two rounds to just get us a feel of what could happen and the scenarios that could happen.
With my tongue in cheek here, Pierre, have you done a mock draft where Lafreniere is not the first draft choice?
I'll keep that for myself. We've run multiple scenarios. Maybe the number one and number two pick have gotten traded. You know, we're prepared for every scenario, but, you know, we've had some interesting things thrown at us.
Naz, I'll turn it over to you.
Pierre, what players will be challenging for a position from your minor league teams this past season?
Oh, I'm very happy you asked that. You know, Belleville obviously had one of the better teams in the American League last year, one of the highest scoring teams. So you've got to look at a few players will definitely challenge on our team this year. I think you got to look at, you know, Drake Batherson. You've got to look at Josh Norris, who was the Rookie of the Year and first team All-Star. I think you got to look at a guy like Logan Brown to see where he'll be in his development. You know, on the back end, you got to look at an Eric Brandstrom. Those are the, you know, even though he spent most of the year with us, he was penciled to be in Belleville, but a guy like, Marcus Hoberg will probably be one of our two goalies. And you got guys like Philip Chaplick, Rudolph Balcers, Alex Formington, who's a rookie, was on the all rookie team, someone we took in the second round a few years ago with tremendous speed. So a lot of our young players will get the chance to get in the lineup this year, but it's up to them to perform when once we get camp started.
Lou, last question from you.
How big a role do you see Nick Paul playing in the future, if any at all?
No, we like Nick Paul. Obviously, we're in discussion with his agent about a future contract. He's someone, you know, he's a big body role player that, you know, found his groove in the NHL last year. He's someone that I think has taken big strides under DJ, and you know, we see him, you know, taking the next step, and hopefully he's someone that can start being a penalty killer and take on those extra minutes.
We're talking to Pierre Dorion, general manager of the Ottawa Senators. We won't keep you much longer, Pierre. We know this is an extremely busy day for you. You've got $43 or $45 million in cap space or thereabouts. There are a certain mandatory amount you do have to spend. The NHL's in a COVID-19 era. Salary cap doesn't look like it's going to be going up in the near future. UFA starts this Friday, I believe. You've got to spend some money. Are you sensing any difference in the market? We've seen an era of ever escalating salaries. Are you sensing a difference in market value this year?
No, it's difficult to say because I haven't had any discussions about any possible unrestricted free agents unless there are players. So I don't know. It'll be interesting. I can tell you Friday at about 12:30, I'll have a better gauge of where the market is at. But right now, it's very difficult to assess the situation of the free agent market because except for our own players, and most of them probably won't be back with us just because we feel we've got some good youth coming up that can do the job. It's very difficult to assess. So I have a feeling that the market will not be the same, but, you know, there's been, you know, sometimes teams just start spending, and it only takes one or two teams to make offers that you shake your head at. So I think we'll have a better of that idea on Friday.
Naz, last question for Pierre.
You're really looking forward to this Tuesday in the draft, Pierre, and I wish you luck. Good luck in the draft, and hopefully things work out. And, you have a great core coming up.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. We've been waiting a long time, multiple months for this draft to come, and we can't look forward. We really look forward to Tuesday.
It's certainly an exciting week for Ottawa Senators fans. Pierre, I'll finish this off, I think, the way I finished off our last interview with you. We wish you all the best, except when you're playing the Toronto Maple Leafs. On that note, Pierre, thanks so much for joining us. Eugene's been a friend of the show. He's taken time for us. You have. We very, very much appreciate it. We wish you the best of luck. We certainly want to see the Ottawa Senators healthy and have an extremely competitive team. If there's any other team I would like to see win the cup other than the Leafs, it's probably the Ottawa Senators. Thanks so much for joining us.
Perfect. Thank you, gentlemen, for having me on.
Pierre Dorion, thank you. Certainly a big week for the Ottawa Senators. It's difficult, obviously, for a general manager to talk about specific players. And I didn't want to ask Pierre a question that he was just going to say he'd prefer not answering. But where do you see the Ottawa Senators look like they're going to end up with this German kid, Stutzel? And in the number five poll, they're talking about perhaps the Swedish kid, Lucas Raymond, or Jamie Drysdale, but strong draft, isn't it, Lou?
It is a strong draft. I think the Ottawa pick's going to be Byfield, for my sources. Sturzy's going to go to LA.
Hold on. You just threw out an arrow there, a dagger there, Lou. Byfield is going to the Senators.
Yes.
And that means that the Kings will take Stutzel.
That's right.
However you pronounce your name. And that's what you're hearing. You're ahead of the current, because most mock drafts, the key one from Button has got it reversed. Where are you hearing this without betraying any confidence?
What did Button do with Calgary?
You tell me.
He didn't do anything, did he?
Let's not get into a personal attack on Button. He's well respected in his draft.
I'm just telling you,
his mock draft is the one that's the most highly circulated one.
Okay,
but
you're, the people
you're
that I talked to,
Byfield is going to the Senators.
Yes, Byfield's going to go. LA is leaning toward drafting Turcy. And Byfield's going to end up going to the Senators at number three.
Sanderson go four.
A flip flop. I'm not sure what Detroit's going to do. Are they going to take Drysdale or next
Sanders
in line? I don't know whether Detroit's going to go forward or defense.
Any thoughts on Leafland, Lou? We got the 15th pick, I believe. Was that part of the? I think that was the. That's the Pittsburgh pick, is it not?
Yeah, that's
for
Kapanen deal.
Yeah, I don't think the Leafs have a lot of artillery in this draft, but if you want to build a successful team, you've got to find some blue chippers in the late first and into the second and third. And talking about third round, we talked about a kid earlier on the show, Anthony Cirilli in Tampa, third round draft choice, 71 overall. It could be a $7-8 million player. Leafs tend not to be able to find too many of those guys. We need a few now, don't we?
Well, you know what it is? Well, you win championships with drafting players in the second, third, and fourth round. Your first round players are always going to be guaranteed, and some teams don't guarantee them. That's why there are certain teams out there that have drafted so bad in the last couple of years that are in the position they are. But if I'm the Leafs, I'm going to probably take the best available player. And if that goalie from Russia is available, that's why I brought it up to Pierre on whether I don't think from watching and talking to people that Ottawa has a blue chip goalie out there. You know, they're all good goalies and everything.
They've got a lot of money.
Yeah, so they do have a lot of money, but Eugene's not going to spend it.
The issue for Pierre is when he's going to spend it, right?
I totally agree with that.
You don't want to throw out your bullets too early, right? I mean, he's not going to win the Stanley Cup next year. You know, it's got to be part of a plan. You make a plan. When do we want to be competitive for the Stanley Cup? Next year and the year after may be a bit premature. So you sort of got to line up your dollars and spend them at the right time, right?
Yep. And if I was Pierre, I'd probably look for some older players on a 1 or 2 year contract, or even a 1 year deal that will help. And I'm talking about good quality people, not good quality players, just so we can bring and teach these guys how to win. And then when it's time to go out and spend and get the missing pieces, he's probably got a lot of missing pieces right now in the minors and guys that they've drafted in the last couple of years.
Well, I'll tell you, having Shabbat and Kachuk are two really good players to build a team around. He's got some, as Naz pointed out in his question to Pierre, they've got some really, really good young talent in the minors, and they got $45 million and 9 picks this year in the first 70, which if he hits on some of those second and third round picks, watch out for the Senators.
Yeah, well, we won't know that for at least another 4 or 5 years whether they're going to hit.
Well, these players, these young players now come up with a skill set that makes them into NHLers. I think a little bit quicker than the old days, and probably because, from a salary cap point of view, you got to put some young people in your lineup quickly, because you don't have enough money to have a bunch of old guys in your lineup, for lack of a better term.
Well, you're right.
I think Anderson gets traded this week. What do you think?
Anderson, the goalie?
Yeah, for the Leafs.
Oh,
we're hearing rumors that he's been offered a lot of deals.
You know what? You can trade him, but you better have a plan to bring somebody in comparable. And I don't know what that plan is.
There's 10 free agent goalies out there. 10.
Yeah.
Hey, Wally?
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Lou. How do you respond
about this scenario here?
Go ahead.
That Naz just brought up, okay? You trade Anderson, or more or less, you wait till a free agency. Since Lehner signed for 5 years for $5 million per year, go out and sign Markstrom and put Anderson on the trade block and get something in return for him.
Everything's on the table, as they say. And I think in today's NHL, I think what these playoffs proved, I think your backup's got to be pretty. It's got to be pretty good too. I think the teams that are becoming successful now can throw two guys out there on any given night, and the team has as much confidence in either one. It seems to be the way the NHL is going. Guys, I want to move topics for a second, if you don't. We got 3 minutes left. Have to take the opportunity of having Lou on the show. Alabama, Georgia, Florida, Clemson. They look like the best teams have separated themselves from the pack. Lou and Naz, so you guys got to be pretty thrilled about Alabama's performance yesterday against A&M.
I was pretty impressed. I got a little scared there when I got 14-14. I think right now Clemson and Alabama are the top of the class. But I think the season will be made in 2 weeks when Alabama goes to plays Georgia. We'll find out what kind of team they really have. LSU is not much, and I don't think Auburn's much. And one little side note here. Mr. John Metchie yesterday, 5 catches for 181 yards, 2 touchdowns. He's a Mississauga boy.
Oh, thanks for pointing that out. Naz, we'd be remiss if you didn't we didn't ask you your thoughts on your beloved Tide. You certainly must have been impressed by Alabama yesterday.
John Menchie's the third. Is his name in 185 yards. And listen, a Canadian player playing on Alabama is in the wide receiver spot. Isn't that something?
How's that any different than a Canadian player playing for Notre Dame in a wide receiver spot that's now a great receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Claypool.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's talent in Canada, and, you know, they're showing up in the big programs. Interesting thing about NCAA football, I mean, they're still publishing, you know, some of the conferences haven't started. The Big Ten, correct me if I'm wrong, are they starting up, guys? I'd love to see
Ohio
State.
Starting up in 2 weeks. The Pac-10 is starting up in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'd love to see Ohio State and Penn State and Wisconsin and Michigan in the mix. Pac-10, USC, Stanford, and Oregon, and those teams, they're starting up as well, Luke?
Yeah. I think the Pac-10 starting out in the first week of November, and the Big 10 or Big 12 is starting off October 24th.
Guys, are they headed towards any news on the college football playoff? Are they still going to have one?
They're still going to have one. Everything's still in order. I'm not sure what the rankings are going to be. I think Ohio State's probably going to move into the top five, and same with Oregon, because those are the two top teams in both conferences. And Penn State's going to be a close third.
And then we have to deal with the whole issue of COVID-19, games being canceled. Notre Dame had their game canceled against Wake Forest. You know, the Cam Newton's down with it. It's running through the Tennessee Titans. Interesting times how they keep this all together. Any thoughts, yeah, Ness?
Well, they baseball was going through that too, and they corrected the problem, and they got through it, and I think football will get through it too.
Anyway, Ness, we're past our 10 o'clock hour. Last word.
Bills over the Raiders to be 4-0 after today.
We look forward to that. Thanks for joining us, Lou. To all our listeners,
Wally,
thanks.
One last thing.
You don't have much time, Luke. Go.
Okay, the passing of Bob Gibson and Lou Brock this week, two great Hall of Fame players that I enjoyed watching immensely with the St. Louis Cardinals.
Rest in peace to the both of them. Thank you for that, Lou. To all our listeners, have a fantastic week.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.